Growing up, almost every year, my family and I would visit Lexington, Kentucky, where my grandfather on my father's side and grandmother lived and are now buried. And I remember the last few visits, we never knew when would be the last time we'd see Grandma. Being Lebanese descent as she was, she expressed her love through food. And I miss greatly, after all these years of her passing, these delicious Lebanese dishes made from scratch. It was a lot of physical intensive labor, from prepping the grape leaves to rolling them, to the kibbeh naye, to all the different styles, the baklava. It took hours and meticulous effort and blood, sweat, and tears to bring this delicious homemade traditional Lebanese food to fruition and for us to enjoy it. And there was always more than enough food, more than we could ever eat. It was a kind of her way of saying, I can never love you enough. And every time we left for the airport, which was just a 10 or 15 minute drive, we would have just finished an enormous meal. And then she would insist we bring a bag of food with us. We were stuffed. The airport was 10 minutes away, but if I refused that bag of food, it was the ultimate rejection of her love. And so I always took it, even though I wouldn't eat it. And when I'd get to the airport, I was the favorite passenger of all the TSA agents there, handing out fresh, delicious Lebanese food. I think they'd wait every year just to see me come into the line, knowing I'd have a bag of food, fresh, still hot, made by grandmother, always overflowing, always more than enough, a love expressed through food that said, you must share it with others. That was her way of showing love. To the very end, until her memory failed her and she was unable to cook and recall the menus that her mother passed on to her and her mother passed on to her. It was the Lebanese way of saying, I love you. And when she offered seconds and you told her, please, Grandma, I can't eat anymore, I'll feel sick, then she'd say, well, then I'll just give you a second plate full of food, not a third. As we celebrate this Mother's Day as a civil holiday, the scriptures remind us that God's love is similar. It's more than enough. In fact, it's so much, it's meant to be shared. But I know a lot of us, maybe on this day, have a bit of a heartache, either because our mothers have passed on and we miss them, or maybe because our mothers didn't meet our expectations, or were a source of great harm to us growing up. Whatever the circumstances may be, Jesus leaves us this word of consolation. I will not leave you orphans. The Gospel of John today, chapter 14, takes place at the Last Supper. Jesus just finished washing the disciples' feet. He knows that in a couple of hours or less, he will be arrested, and they will not see him again, except for John, who alone stood at the foot of the cross until his death, taking his body down and burying it in the tomb. I will only be with you a little while longer, he tells them. He washed the feet of Judas. He washed the feet of Peter. And he even gave communion to Judas, knowing that he had already betrayed him, accepted the money, and would leave before Mass was over to go and betray him, to tell them where he would be. Judas was the first to leave Mass early, as John tells us, sadly, not the last. And in that intimate moment, in that last meal, in that new covenant that Jesus leaves them, which he would literally embody a total self-giving the next day, Friday, Good Friday, with his passion and death on the cross, he knows they're worried and afraid. You're leaving us, Lord. You said as much. But he reassures them, I remain with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live in you. Remain in my love. What does it mean to remain in the love of Christ? Many people say, I love Jesus. Many people say, I am Catholic. And maybe they are by virtue of their baptism. canonically you are. Unless you send a letter to your bishop to renounce your faith, you will always be Catholic no matter what you do after your baptism, for good or for evil. But what does it mean to really remain in Jesus and love him? Jesus elsewhere in the Gospels say, many will call on me, Lord, Lord, but will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will knock at the door and say, Lord, but we ate with you and we listened to you speak. And he'll say to them, I do not know you. Depart from me. So what does it mean to love the Lord, to accept this overabundance of his love and pass it on as we must because of the abundance that is given to us? He says it very clearly in today's gospel and in many other places in John's gospel and John's letters. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. You see, just because I wear clerics and I'm a priest doesn't mean I automatically love Jesus. I am bound to the Ten Commandments just as you, and held to a higher expectation and responsibility. Jesus saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. And so our love for Christ is not manifest even by our mass attendance alone, which fulfills the first and third commandment, but it is manifested by our fidelity to all the commandments. When we don't know what the commandments are, then we don't know how to love him. And when we don't keep them, in spite of our external behavior, we are not loving him. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Christ's love is given to us in abundance, especially when we have a lack of love we needed growing up or now. When we feel unloved, Christ comes to us in the scriptures today and then now in the Eucharist to receive him if we are in the state of grace and not conscious of mortal sin, to remind us that he will always love us. And when we bring the hurt of abandonment from a mom or a dad or a spouse or a feeling of abandonment by our children, and we pray out of that hurt and give it to Jesus and invite him into that absence of what should be, then our lives are transformed. Then our faith becomes what it is meant to be, a personal, intimate, living relationship with a God who loves us to overflowing. Only when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the Lord and pray out of that vulnerability from the heart does this change from a ritual to a relationship. That is what Christ is calling us to. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason of hope. What does this mean? Allow the love that you've received from Christ to overflow and share it with others, like I did with my grandmother's food with the TSA agents at the airport in Lexington. And if we are rejected, if that love is not returned from others, Peter reminds us it's better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. Remember, Christ suffered for our sins, that he might lead you to God. And so put to death in the flesh that our sinful ways, our ways of breaking the commandments, and live in the life of the Spirit that God has given us through baptism and confirmation. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You know, when Grandma died, after Grandpa, my paternal grandparents, my dad definitely felt like an orphan. His parents no longer were alive. And she was the last of my grandparents to pass away. The last Christmas with Grandma or Grandpa in Kentucky or in Puerto Rico. The last meal served by Grandma. The last homemade Lebanese meal with immediate family that I would ever eat was with her. And at her funeral mass, there was a sense, a real sense of loss. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. Every time I taste Lebanese food, whether it be brought to me by someone who knows how, or at a restaurant, I always remember Grandma. It's not the same, but it's a reminder. And when I take home leftovers, I almost want to drive all the way to the airport to give it to a TSA agent. In honor of those memories, there's always more than enough. There's always too much because we must share it. It's not enough to keep it to ourselves. And so as we celebrate this civil holiday of Mother's Day, we hear Christ in a maternal heart, if you will, reminding us that he is not going away forever, that he has not left us orphaned, that there will always be more than enough of him in the Eucharist if we love him and keep his commandments and receive him worthily, so that when we leave here, just as every time I left my grandma's house to go back home, we will have more than enough Jesus to share it out there, at home, in the streets, with our neighbors, even our enemies. It's not our love we're giving, but the love of Christ. Just as it was not my food, but grandma's. I can never make that, even to this day. I can never be Jesus, but I'm called to be like him. And I can only do that if I accept his love for me in those dark, wounded places, allowing myself to be vulnerable and praying out of that with tears, that then he gives me what I need most of all, a sense of belonging, healing any feelings of abandonment and loneliness, loving me to an abundance so that then I can go out and give that love to others, so that it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. That is our vocation. As we're held to the standard of the commandments, whether we're priest, bishop, religious, laity, widow, single, young, or old, at the end of the day, whoever loves me, Jesus tells us, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him, as we heard last Sunday, so that where I am, you may also be. And where you are, no matter where that is, he may be there too.